Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Welcome, welcome. Well, man, I'm excited about our identity series that we launched last week. And hopefully you guys have been loving these devotionals that we got out to you guys Christmas Eve, and then the last few weekends we've been handing them out. And online we got a digital copy, and actually even in the room, we got the digital copy on our app. And man, 31 days to just discover who God's called you to be. And let's lean into that. We got questions every day if you haven't started it. And it's been some really great stuff. I also love the beginning. Talking about what do I want to achieve this year, vision for my year, plan of action. And so let's make this year a great year. Let's make this year the year God wants it to be. And man, we had a phenomenal week of prayer all week as well. So many of you guys were here with us and online with us making time. And man, I'm just praying that that was impactful for you. I know it made an impact spiritually in the Northwest, spiritually in your life. And making new habits as well, learning how to pray, leaning into prayer. And I'm excited for today's message. I've had it on my heart for months. We were working on this devotional last year. We were writing it. And so we put a lot of time and energy into all of its content. So I've had this message specifically on my heart for months. And title my message, in case you're taking notes, write this down. And today I want to talk about the idea of, do I have a say? When it comes to my identity, do I have a say? Now, don't answer. Don't answer. First service, a few people shouted out at me, and I was like, uh-oh, this isn't going to go good anymore. Do I have a say? Do you have a say when it comes to who you are? Do you have a say when it comes to your identity and your opinions and your preferences? And when you're like, when you define yourself, you're like, this is who I am. Do you have... Did God invite you to the table when he was trying to define who you would be, who you are? I think a lot of us, when you start going through the list of what are the things that we assume or we think or we accept as things that have had influences or impacted or even as much as molded us into the people we are today. A lot of us would start with our upbringing, you know, our family, our parents, and you know, my parents had a lot to do with who I am and my culture, my background. And then you could get to the layers of, well, I had a single parent and so that impacted me, or I had this, or I had a parent leave me, or we had a, you know, a blended family, and all of these things start to add into what we accept today as our identity. That molded me, that changed me, that impacted me. And then you kind of grow up a few years and you're like, well, friendships start to impact you and they start to define you and they start to mold you. And then maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, yeah, I think one of the reasons I am the way I am is because of that first relationship. That person hurt me and they left me and they broke my heart and that impacted me. Or that teacher that I had was such an influential person in my life and they really molded me for the positive, or maybe for the negative, and they spoke down to you. And reminds me of a story. My mom in school had a teacher in the elementary. And she says, oh, you're not very good at writing. You'll never write anything great. Fast forward, my mom's written 100 more books than that lady. So, you know, who's laughing now? And I'm not sure if it's 100. It's not, probably not 100, let's be honest, you know. But how many, do you know Teresa? It's a lot. It's more than the other lady. Let's just go with that, right? This unpublished elementary school teacher. Make a joke, but she said something that made an impact. It had a possibility to mold our pastor. And then you think, well, what else is impacting? What else is defining me? What else has a place at my table when I gather to go, who am I? I bring everyone to the table. Maybe you bring your political view to the table, and that has a definition. That has a say in who you are. And I'm this type of person. I vote this way. I think this way. I believe this way. Maybe your music has sculpted you, has impacted you, has identified you, and that spirit, that words, those that culture, that maybe pop culture has had an influence on who you are, and that's impacted you and molded you. And side note, it's funny how you for the most part, people love the popular music of their teen years. You could tell that we're impactful. Well, you could tell that we're moldable because when you got molded, it was like it got hard and then you just liked that the rest of your life. Like, I'm set. That's the greatest music ever. For the next 80 years, I'm listening to that. And every generation does it. That old music is trash. This, it's funny nowadays. I'm getting old enough where like if like Krista turns the radio on, it's the wrong station. It's not the current station anymore. It's the old station you're talking about. No one else in that old, okay. Like, what is this young music that they're listening to nowadays? It's ridiculous. I don't listen to music. I was just trying to make a joke. I'll get to that in a minute. By the way, how amazing is my wife up here? Just gifted and beautiful? Come on, somebody. Looking good. I did it wrong. What sculpts you? What identifies you? What has played a part in defining who you are today? You know what plays a part in many people's lives? Their truth. What's true to them? This is my truth. This is my experience. But what makes me nervous and what makes me question the validity of us accepting that as something that can define us is many people have gone through similar experiences but come out with different interpretations. Interpretations. Someone can live a tough life as a child and they can grow up and they can say, I'm an overcomer. Someone else can go through a very similar style of upbringing and say, I'm a victim. I need a handout. I need help. Someone owes me because of what I've gone through. How in the world can you go through similar experiences with such drastically different interpretations? And if that interpretation is wrong, but that interpretation becomes your truth, which becomes your identity, will you live the rest of your life with the wrong identity, which will lead you to the wrong calling, which will get you to the wrong destiny, ultimately for you to get to heaven and have lived the wrong life because of your interpretation? Reminds me of a story. I'm picking on my wife, but it's hilarious. And I wasn't planning on telling this story, but it's really funny. I just thought of it. My wife, being a flight attendant, she got really good stories, by the way. And years ago, she's on the plane. If you've flown, when you get on the plane, there's always that flight attendant at the very front when you walk in. So she's in the door. There was this Russian family that came on, and they're talking, speaking in Russian, and they're just, and you could tell that the husband and the wife are a little nervous, and their kids, she thinks, were like teenage years, and talking just a mile a minute. And have you ever been in a different country where you don't speak their language and so it makes you nervous? Is that just a me thing? Is it an us thing? Like, when you travel and you're like, if you don't know how to communicate with everyone, you're uptight. I think some of you will feel that way in America or even here today. Many of you are English is your second language, even your third or fourth language. And sometimes you get nervous with that communication barrier. So they come on the plane talking in Russian, and Krista goes, "Privyet." The mom just looks at her like, it's an angel. Yes, Lord. She speaks. We could communicate. We can talk. She could interpret what I'm saying. And this mom just rattles off like 100 questions. And just looks at Krista. Now, this is going to be funnier to anyone that speaks Russian first, and I'll explain it to the rest of us. Krista, after getting all these questions, just looks dead her in her face and goes, "Chiripaha," which means turtle. And the teenage girl by her mom goes, "Did you just say turtle?"
How good is that?
But randomly, we have a friend, and I don't know why Krista only knows those words, but she learned hello, and then somehow she said chiripaha once. She's like, that's hilarious, and just remembered that. So that was her go-to in their response, chiripaha. Y'all, could you imagine being in another country? You're nervous, you're unsure, you're trying to communicate, and you're like, oh, you speak English. Where do I go, and where do we sit? And I'm so nervous. What about these bags? And the person's like, turtles. Turtles. Like, I don't, what? That doesn't help me at all. Interpretations. Interpretations matter. Many of us have allowed our interpretation of our experiences lock in our truth for how we feel about them. And so someone else can make an interpretation that says I'm an overcomer, while a different person says I'm a victim. Someone can hear the news and say, that's right, we should vote for that person. Another person, just as smart as the first person, hears the same report and says, nope, we should vote for that person. Interpretations. I'll be honest, there's a lot of people much smarter than me that vote opposite of what I voted. There's also a lot of people smarter than me that have voted what I voted. What does that tell me? I have no idea what to do. That's what it tells me. Because they're all smarter than me, and they're all disagreeing. Shows me there's not an actual answer. But somehow, many of us in the process of defining who we are have made our interpretations our facts. And our facts have made them become our truths. And our truths have defined us. And because we've been defined by them, now we're living by them. So what is it that defines you? What is it that has identified you? See, here's, once we get on this track for experiences can define me, upbringing can define me, parenting can define me, teachers can define me, coaches can define me, relationships get to define me, music can add to my influences, culture can add to what I am, and all of a sudden, all of these things start to pile in, and all of these things get piled up, mixed up, and then that group defines who you are, and that has become your identity. Once we accept that as forming our identity, then the world and culture takes it one step forward and says, listen, now that we've defined who you are, we would also like you to accept both your opinions and your feelings to define who you are. Because once you start thinking that everyone gets a say in who I am, well, since they get a say in who I am, I think my opinion and my feeling also should have a say in molding my identity. And so culture, the world, and as I'll go as far as to say, the enemy is desperately trying to get you to accept the identity that you've accepted already from your upbringing, your past, your relationships, your music, your culture. And so now that we define who you are, now let's make sure that you have a say. And your desires and your opinions define who you are. You're like, what does that mean? I'll prove it. Nowadays, when you start talking to someone that believes differently than you believe politically, they feel like they're being attacked personally. Why? Because many people today have accepted their political views as defining who they are. We've said, if this is politically what I think, this is politically what I believe, if you vote contradicting what I voted for, you're hateful. You. Now, we're not even saying your opinion's wrong. We're saying you as a person are hateful. You as a person are blind. You as a person are deceived. You as a person are, hold up. Hold up. We've gone so far that our political views define our identities. Why? Because culture has convinced us that your opinion defines your identity. And then they won't stop there. It says, now your desires have a seat at the table. Now your desires can define your identity. And we're allowing groups of people to define who they are based on a sexual desire. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going that far down that road. You and me both. But think about it. If someone can be defined by their sexual desire, where does that road stop? Why can't all sexual desires define the person then? Why can't all desires define me? If we're allowing a few sexual desires to define a person, shouldn't all desires be acceptable to define the person? And then that means that when you're defined by your desires, I must accept your desires. You see, it starts with the unhealthy, unbiblical thinking that outside sources get a seat at the table when defining who I am. And once we've accepted the outside source, then the enemy gets us to accept our off-centered, unbiblical, un-Christ-renewed self, and our desires and our opinions then come to the table and say, we get opinions too. And how I think and how I feel defines who I am. Oh, y'all are quiet up in here today. You're like, this guy's. Should have watched online. I could have turned him down. Someone right now is leaning over like, babe, you want a refill of coffee? I'll go get some coffee for us. Got some Play-Doh for my kids. I love Play-Doh. You know, I'm just, you know, playing with kids and Play-Doh. Why in the world does every kid think that they just mix it up as fast as you can? And in what age happens where adults are like, don't mix it? Like, what is happening? What if it's mixed, then what? But somehow it's like a cardinal sin as an adult. Like, don't mix the Play-Doh. Like, why? It's because I'm an adult. Please don't. You're not supposed to do that. My kids just mix it so fast. I got this Play-Doh. Here, babe, can you just do me a favor? Just mold that into something for me. What you got? Come on, Bob Ross. A little donut. Come on, somebody. Molded a donut. Come on, somebody. My wife is a foodie. Who in here has got some foodies up in here? We got a foodie up in here. She was like, what am I making? Well, I'm making a donut up in here. She's on that healthy eating too right now. She can't even have a donut. Tanya here, can you mold this into something as well? Come on, T. Little Sue, come on, somebody. Yeah, some more food up in here. A little spam roll. Who loves a good musubi? Come on, somebody. Woo, praise the Lord. If you don't know what it is, find out today. A donut. Oh, the spiral donuts. Come on, somebody. I love some donuts up in here. Morgan, give me some more. Just keep molding that. Same Play-Doh. That's my Play-Doh. But I want them to mold it for a bit. It's my Play-Doh. But we're going somewhere right now, guys. A jam-filled donut. We got donuts up in here. Can we get some maple bars? So I got some relationships. I got some friendships. I got some coworkers up in the front row all molding. This is mine. But they got a say in what it is. The same is true for many of our lives when it comes to everything around us. We keep saying, Dad, you can have a say. Mold that. Mom, you can have a say. Why don't you mold that? Friend, you can have a say, mold that. Boss, you can have a say, why don't you mold it? Music, you can have a say, why don't you go ahead and mold it for me? Politics, politician, I don't know what to think, so you tell me, here, you mold me. What should I think? Why should I feel? How should I act? Mold this for me, please. Unforgiveness, just have your way with this. Mold this real quick. Your ex-husband, your ex-wife, can you just keep molding me? Make sure I stay bitter. Just keep molding this for me. Your experiences, your interpretation, your past, your music choice, your fashion, your group, your coworkers. Just have a go at this. Make sure that I look the way you think I should look. Make sure that I act the way you think I should act. Make sure you feel like you can accept me. And we keep putting ourselves into everything and everyone else's hands to have a go at what we should be molded into. See, it's logical. It makes sense. We all thought, I was molded by my parents. I was molded by my family. I get my identity from where I came from. We all thought that that was normal. I think most of us did today. I think most of us before the service started today go, yeah, my identity, it's my family, it's my upbringing, it's my heritage, it's my wife, it's my husband. But what if What if your dad didn't see in you what God sees in you, and he molded something wrong? What if your mom, in her pain, in her brokenness, didn't know how to communicate to you hopes and dreams that God put in you, and so she limited the dreams that God had for you, and so you're defined by someone that wasn't ever intended to define you? What if your boss isn't godly, but he gets a say in who you are? What if the music that you're listening to wasn't from heaven, but it keeps setting the mood for your emotions on a daily basis? What if politics don't actually matter and they're not going to make it to heaven, but you keep following a politician so much it defines who you are? You see, we've allowed politics, opinions, to define us. So here, I have a question for you. If I took you out of America and put you in a third world country currently, a country that didn't have freedom of speech and had oppression, would you hold the exact same views you hold right now? Would you be just as active, just as vocal, and hold true to what you think right now in a country that did not have any freedoms? I mean, that's you, isn't it? That's your identity. That's who you are. Oh, so you would change instantly. Doesn't seem like your identity is very deep. What if I took you and took you back 100 years, same country, 100 years back? Are you sure you would feel the exact same way you feel today? What if I took you 100 years forward? So you're telling me that your identity, how you are formed, is as fragile as when you were born and the health of your parents? That's what God left it up to. You're telling me that who you are, this is who I am, is as fragile as the time in history you were born and the health. And y'all, I want to hear God's voice every day of my life. I got devotional times. I read my word. And I still know that I'm selling my children short for what all God has for them. Some of you in here today did not have the parent that loved you to God, led you to the presence of God, and you've allowed them to limit the dreams, the desires, the calling, the destiny on the inside of you because the wrong person molded you and you accepted what they made. This is who I am. Too many of us have accepted secondhand knowledge when it comes to our identity. Now listen, secondhand knowledge is good in some areas. Like when I'm at the hospital, some surgeon's like, listen, this is what we gotta do. I'm not going to medical school, so I'm gonna go ahead and accept your secondhand knowledge. Like that's good with me, because I'm not a doctor. But when it comes to my calling, to my destiny, to my identity, no, I'm not taking your word for that. I'm gonna go to God. But too many of us have said, listen, no, boss, get in here. Tell me how to act, how to think, how to feel. And we've accepted secondhand identity because we've allowed everyone else to have an impact on molding who we are. Let me give you some scriptures on this. You're like, I don't know about this yet. This is wild. Let me give you some Bible. Don't argue with me, argue with God. Genesis 1, 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Side note, he just gave two options in case you're wondering. Don't take it up with me. I'm not that smart. I already told you that. I'm not that smart. I just read two. Take it up with God. He created them in his, it says, in his image. In his image, you were created. In his, not in your parents' image, not in your boss's image, not in your spouse's image, not in the person that you were, not in the social media follower, oh, I just want to be just like this. No, not, you're not made in that athlete's image, in that celebrity's image, in that politician's image. You are made in the image of your Father in heaven. And too many of us have allowed a definition of who we are to be formed before we understood the image of our Father. But you were created to look just like God. You were not created to be another political vote. You were not created to be another hurt person, broke person, vulnerable. You were not created to be a victim. You were not created to be less than. You were not created to be, you were created to look like your Father. So, if your identity today is not connected to the image of your Father in heaven, you've allowed someone or something to mold you incorrectly. Oh, don't golf clap me. Come on, somebody. What in your life have you accepted the wrong image of, the wrong interpretation of, the wrong truth of, the wrong person to speak into your life? You've allowed someone or something to mold you in a way that wasn't into the image of God. And so, honestly, so many of us feel like this is just natural. This is just normal. Everyone does this. This is how the world works. No, it's not. That's not how it was created to work. That's not how you were created to work. You were created to bear the image of God. Let's keep reading. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, before I formed you, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before I formed you, not before you were formed, not before they formed you, not before they molded you, before I, God, formed you. Too many of us allowing everyone else to form us. We're saying, hey, boyfriend, hey, girlfriend, I'm so hurt, I'm broken, I just need your love. I need you to love me, so can you just have a go at this real quick? And the person's like, yeah, let me form this real quick. That's what I need. These are my needs. Let me just form you into what I'm looking for. Thank you so much. Hey, boss, can you, I got you. I need you to do this, I need you to do that. I need this from you, I need you to speak this way. Yeah, just keep molding. Okay, awesome. Hey, I really want to be accepted. How should I vote? This is how we vote. This is what, you just keep telling me how to do that. Hey, friends, I'm so empty. I'm such a victim. Yeah. You're such a victim. You are a victim. You need me. You need me to give you handouts. You would never amount to anything without me. You need. Yeah, I need you so much. I need handouts. I would never amount to anything if it wasn't for the handouts. Yeah. Let me just mold that a little bit more. Hey, music, I feel horrible right now. Could you just make me feel horrible? Yeah. Music will just, anyone ever realize when you have a bad day, you go to bad music? Like, I feel really bad. I want to feel worse. Brian McKnight over here telling you, you missed the one. You let her go and you'll never find her again. Like, you're right, Brian, I let her go. I'll never find her again. He's like, yeah, I'll just never find her again. You're going to be broken the rest of your life. There's no back at one for you. I'm glad y'all caught that. You're not feeling great. Stressed out at work, instead of going to the presence of God, you just turn on some music on the way home and you walk in the house with a bad attitude and a funky spirit because they just molded you for the last 30 minutes in your car, not into the image of who you were created to be. Yeah, just keep telling me how to talk to women. Keep telling me how to treat people. Keep telling me what I earn. Keep telling me all them romances that I missed out on. Yeah, I love that. And I just poured into my spirit. Keep molding me, world. Keep telling me what to think. Y'all, they telling us political views on sports channels now. My man, you can't even watch sports no more without opinions. Like, my man, no, tell me they scored a touchdown or not, and then shut up. Right? They're talking about, I'm like, can't watch a game no more. Is it a three or not? It was a three, but it was a liberal three. What? Kidding. Put your rocks down. We're looking at everything to mold us. But what? Here's the problem. See, so I think a lot of us, tell me if you agree with this, a lot of us feel like we're discovering ourselves as we grow. Like a lot of us, like, I'm a different person today than I was when I was 4, and then when I was 8, and then when I was 16, and then I was 21, and I keep growing and evolving. I keep discovering who I am. So somehow I'm growing and evolving and developing new identity. So how is that happening then if it's not happening from other people? You see, that's the trick. That's the lie. We keep thinking because we're growing, because we are changing, something or someone is having a part to play in the evolution of our identity. You were created for that, but here's how you're doing it wrong. Follow me. Matthew 4:19. Y'all should write this down. Underline it in your Bibles, in your paper Bibles. Now get your phones out. Matthew 4:19 says, he said to them, follow me and I will make you. Follow me is what Jesus says. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow. You see, it's in the journey that you discover yourself. It's in the following that you find yourself. You were created to follow. You were created for a journey. You were created to go somewhere. The problem is most of us are on a journey. We're just not on a journey with Jesus. Your boss is the leader. Your boss is telling you where to go, what to do. Your spouse is telling you where to go. Your past guilt is telling you where to go and what to do. Your fears are telling you where to go, what to do. Your addictions have more influence on your weekend than your God. Too many of us are allowing the wrong tour guide to define who we are. But Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. So, hey, Jesus said, follow me. Put your life in my hand today. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to make you today. I got you. Got some good stuff coming for you today. The next day, hey, put your life back in my hand. Great. Okay. I'm making you more. I got more for you today. The next day, hey, put yourself back in my hands. I'm following you, Jesus. I got more for you today. But too many of us spend our Sundays, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. And he's like, I got an hour of your time. Well, honestly, like 20 minutes of attention. Okay, 20 minutes. Let me see what I got with 20 minutes of your attention. And then the rest of your week, you're like, boss, take my life. Spouse, take my life. Guilt, take my life. Fears, I would love for you to take my life. I just love giving my life to you. Addictions, oh, depression's back. Yeah. Just work your stuff in here, depression. Mold me, depression. Define me, depression. Ooh, it's a voting year every 4 years. Yes. Mold me. Paula. Half of y'all posted more on your Facebook over politics than Jesus. And you wonder why you're looking jacked up. Because you've been molded by the wrong thing. You're following the wrong thing. And they keep molding you because they're not going to stop. They love it. They want them followers. Follow me. Follow. Follow. You out there following everything and everyone. You follow more cookbooks on Instagram than... I'll stop. Because you keep putting your life in everything and everyone else's hands to be molded. And God, Jesus is like, follow me. I'm like, yeah, but. No, follow me and I'll make you. I got a lot to do. Honestly, you keep making it harder on me. I got a lot more to do now than when we started. But I will make you. Follow. Yeah, okay, I submit. Here's the deal. Too many of us Stop following in the bad season because we believe the lies of the enemy that if there's a bad day, Jesus must have abandoned us. Jesus must have left us. Jesus has done the wrong thing. If he loved you, he wouldn't have molded you that way. If he loved you, he wouldn't have let that happen to you. If he loved you, he'd have been there for you. No, he was there for you, and he was crying with you when you were abandoned, when you were hurt, when you were broken, when that giant showed up, when that storm showed up, when that struggle showed up. He was there, and he said, let me mold you through it. Don't let it mold you. Let me mold you. Don't be defined by the bad report. Be defined by your submission to Jesus through the valley of the shadow of death. Too many of us are allowing the valley to define us, not the God that's trying to walk with us through the valley. We keep taking our lives and putting it into the wrong hands. You say, well, what do I do? Okay, so I'm defined wrong. Now what? Follow me. Follow me. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. But we all are being transformed into the same image. This verse is talking about Jesus. It says, as if you're looking in a mirror, you're being transformed into the image of Jesus. As if you're looking in a mirror, you're being transformed into the image of Jesus, church. You're thinking, what is my identity? Your identity is to be an exact copy, a replica. Your image is to be a reflection of Jesus in your world today. If you can't use a definition to define Jesus with, you can't use it to define you with. Oh, I will say it again for those in the back. If you can't use something to define Jesus with, you can't use it to define you with. So you no longer can define yourself as a victim because Jesus is not a victim. You no longer can define yourself as less than, as broken, as hurt, as wounded, as no calling, no purpose, not blessed, not appointed, not grace, not, no. You can't use those definitions because you can't use them on Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.